The epistle for this eighth Sunday after Pentecost is taken from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, that we should live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh, you will live. For whoever are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now you have not received a spirit of bondage so as to be again in fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, by virtue of which we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself gives testimony to our spirit that we are the sons of God. But if we are sons, we are heirs also, heirs indeed of God and joint heirs with Christ. Please stand for a continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus spoke to his disciples this parable. There was a certain rich man who had a steward, who was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, What is this that I hear of thee? Make an accounting of thy stewardship, for thou canst be steward no longer. And the steward said within himself, What shall I do, seeing that my master is taking away the stewardship from me? To dig I am not able, and to beg I am ashamed. I know what I shall do, but when I am removed from my stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. And he summoned each of his master's debtors and said to the first, How much dost thou owe my master? And he said, 100 jars of oil. He said to him, Take thy bond and sit down at once and write 50. Then he said to another, How much dost thou owe? He said, 100 cores of wheat. He said to him, Take thy bond and write 80. And the master commended the unjust steward that he had acted prudently. For the children of this world, in relation to their own generation, are more prudent than are the children of the light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves with the mammon of wickedness, so that when you fail, they may receive you into the everlasting dwellings. Thus far are the words of the Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in today's Gospel, we are reminded of a crucial fact of our existence. We are reminded that we do not truly own anything in this world. We are entrusted the use of things by God in order to be of service to the salvation of our souls. We are mere stewards of the world that God has made. God has given us the stewardship over many goods, many great, incredible goods. Over and above the created world, which by its nature is good, God has left us, through the passion, death, and resurrection of Christ, the Church and her salvific sacraments. He gives us His Spirit. He gives us His love. He gives us His grace. Like the steward of the rich man in the Gospel story, we too will be called before God Himself, our Master, to render to Him an account of our stewardship. What shall we tell Him? How careful are we in our service? How attentive are we to those things and duties entrusted to us by God? How attentive are we at Holy Mass? How much do we seek to understand and truly appreciate the greatness of the mysteries given us here on the altar? With what devotion do we attend? And with what gratitude do we leave? With what attention do we receive God, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Holy Eucharist? How often do we let these things slide? We allow ourselves to grow cold to the goodness of God in leaving us such a unique and intimate contact with Him. We slip away from the life of grace that He offers. By our negligence, we fall into sin. By our coldness to the love of God, we turn our backs on the supreme good for fleeting pleasure. And then, as if that were not enough, we drag our feet to return to His love. Who cares? He'll forgive me after all, won't He? We so often treat such great gifts, such signs of the mercy and love of God with such recklessness, with such abandon. We you treasure an expensive pair of shoes or a car or even a toy or video game with more devotion, more caution, more attention than we do with the things of God. How often do we trudge through our family lives as work, focusing and perhaps despairing of the mere worldly troubles and considerations of this great and noble vocation, forgetting all too often that it is indeed a work first and foremost of God's grace, forgetting that it is a participation in the very cross of Christ himself, forgetting that it is the means by which God gives the graces so necessary to save the souls of the family. We so casually live our lives without reference to its end. Some of us are fortunate to have had at least one reminder in our lives of just how fragile life really is. Some of us have had more than one. Some of us, perhaps, have had even too many. And yet, many times, we take so much for granted in this life. We go to bed assuming that we'll wake up in the morning. Death comes, however, like a thief. We drive through a traffic light as if that red light were a physical barrier to the car speeding towards it. There is no guarantee to life. Death comes to all of us, one way or another. How do we live today? How do we live in this society? We live as though we will live forever. We will be called to make an account for our negligence. The master gave the unjust steward credit for being so enterprising. We cannot be certain of our state. We cannot know how great of a debt we owe to God. We can try our best, but we can never truly know of ourselves. Purgatory? For how long? Heaven? Maybe. For life, we spend so much time to provide for ourselves in uncertainty, much like the unjust steward. We make investments for the future. We put money away for those little surprises that life tends to offer us. Why not learn from this and do so spiritually? Prepare now for the afterlife. Though we may have been negligent in the past, it's never too late to start. The parable of the owner of the vineyard who goes out several times through the day to hire laborers. And remember, those hired at the 11th hour earn the same wage as those hired at the beginning. But we cannot rely on that 11th hour. Oftentimes, those who seek God at 10:30 die at 10. Besides prayer and penance and striving for sanctity now, we are told, as a lesson from the steward's actions, make for yourselves friends with the help of wicked mammon, of money, so that when it runs out, they may receive you into an everlasting abode. Money, then, which we squander on so many fleeting entertainments, so many foolish pursuits, money which is the source of so much temptation and the cause of so many sins. Yes, money can be used well to make friends for when this world fades from our grip. It sounds so awful and so worldly. But when we die, who or how many will remember us? And for how long? The wise man spends well. For example, in the seminary in Denton, every person or group of persons who donated enough to build a room in the seminary had their names or the names of their family or loved ones placed directly above the door of the room which they helped build. And every time the seminarian living in that room walks in or out, it serves as a reminder to pray for that person. And so, seminarian after seminarian, for as long as that seminary stands, has prayers, will be praying for those donors. And then in general, once a month, there's a requiem offered for the donors and benefactors of the fraternity. When a chalice is donated for the celebration of Mass, it is not uncommon that the donor should have their name engraved underneath the base, so that every time the priest elevates that chalice that contains the blood of Christ offered for our sins, he is reminded to keep that person in prayer. So too with vestments, and so on and so forth. One can have masses said now for oneself, for one's loved ones. One can set aside funds for masses to be said after one's death. One can contact a monastery for Gregorian masses. That's 30 days straight of masses for the intention of the donor. So many ways to make friends with the help of wicked money. And remember, this is not something just for the rich or for those who think they have the money to spare. Remember the age-old equation: time equals money. We all have time, we all have talents that we can devote to the kingdom of heaven. Because we are all going to be called to make an account for our negligences in the service of God. What are we doing to prepare for that? How seriously do we consider the magnitude of that statement? When we die, when we are called before our Master to render that account, have we even lived clever enough for our Lord to even give us credit for merely being enterprising, let alone faithful? Let us remind ourselves constantly of the inevitability of our judgment, of the fragility of our lives, and work and live our lives accordingly. May God bless you all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.